Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, June 29th, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to Squarespace.com and use offer code TNT6. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zaktar.
I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news, try to make some damn sense out of it. It's crazy today.
It's wild.
It's all over the place. People are selling things. People are quitting. Canceling products. Money's been made.
Data's been stolen.
Oh, it's just a mess.
Made public.
Data stolen.
Embarrassment.
Apologies have been made.
Yeah, mistakes also.
And Sony's in the news too.
The first mistake we can talk about is News Corp buying MySpace back in 2005. For $580 million, they have sold it. MySpace has been sold to Specific Media. Not just any media, Specific Media, for $35 million.
You know what's interesting is I remember when News Corp bought MySpace and everyone went, holy crap, they spent so much money on MySpace, but it was justified, maybe not by everybody, but at the time, there was a reason why the property was such a hot commodity. And I wonder, with all these sales that we're seeing now and all the valuations going through the roof, if we're just going to be singing the same song with a lot of companies in the next 5 years.
What's MySpace even, like, what's its use anymore for something like Specific Media?
I know that the usage has been declining, but they still have a lot of people there.
No, I just mean, how are they going to use it with their services? They do advertising networks. So they're going to put a lot more ads on MySpace?
They're going to take over the ads on MySpace so they can pay themselves, first of all. And they're going to data mine. They're going to take all the data they can get out of MySpace and use it to, you know, improve their ad sales technology.
There was a band. I found a YouTube video very randomly the other day, and I looked them up online just to find more information about the band. And their homepage is their MySpace page.
Well, that's what MySpace was originally. Yeah. It was a music sharing thing.
I mean, people are definitely still using it and getting something out of it.
Staff of 400 will be cut in half, according to reports in the Wall Street Journal. News Corp had hoped to get $100 million. That's what they were asking. I mean, they were already planning on writing off $480 million on this. But they're losing even more than that. I guess it's worth it. They wanted to sell it before the end of their fiscal year so that it would not impact anything next year. And that's what they were motivated sellers. Mm-hmm. $35 million. I believe we are in a tech bubble right now, but this is kind of a counterexample. Because if we were in a bubble, they should have been able to sell it for more than $100 million.
Well, MySpace was part of the old
bubble.
We're
not in a bubble for a bunch of junk, though. I think that things are being sold at possibly extremely high valuations, but they're hot commodities right now. MySpace, no one thinks is a hot commodity.
Well, I'm just thinking back in the dot-com bubble. It didn't matter whether it was junk or not.
It was a name that could be revived at that point. I mean, it was worth it just
flues.
For that.
Need I say more?
Well, MySpace, they're headquartered down in Los Angeles, so I guess there's 200 people looking for work. It might be a good time to open a restaurant.
Will be soon. Maybe they can take the obvious move and work for Biz Stone.
Oh, I liked that. I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Biz Stone has announced on his blog he's stepping back from Twitter. Stepping back is the new moving on. It's the new way of quitting. I'm stepping back.
That's it. I step back.
Take this job and step back from it.
I'm going to relax and just work somewhere else.
I think what it is I'm going to hold on to the stock, but I'm not going to do any work.
So
Biz Stone will be teaming up with his old friends Jason Goldman and Evan Williams and restarting The Obvious Corporation. The Obvious Corporation was created to try to buy back Odeo. Odeo was Evan Biz's first love after they left Blogger.
It was a podcasting service.
I loved Odeo.
And a lot of people did, but not enough for Odeo to be a runaway hit. It was no Twitter.
So they actually started Twitter as a part of the Obvious Corporation. And then when Twitter started to become so successful, they spun it out. Their plan now is to use the Obvious Corporation, restart it as an incubator. The quote is, our plan plan is to develop new projects and work on solving big problems aligned along a simple mission statement. The Obvious Corporation develops systems that help people work together to improve the world.
This is quite the trend these days, where not necessarily somebody leaves a company and starts something else, but everything is an incubator now, so that a group of people that work well together can work on several projects and not put all of their eggs into one basket.
Yeah,
instead of one app, you know, like Color, for example, you make five, and one of them is going to be a success, and then maybe you put more effort into that.
Yeah, that's what Kevin Rose did with Milk when he stepped away.
Yeah, but right. Incubators are such a safe way of saying, we're going to try a whole bunch of stuff. If it fails, that's okay, because we didn't plan for everything to be a success. I mean, an incubator just seems like a real safe way to say, we're going to fail numerous times.
And venture capitalists are fine with that. They're like, we need people. They will give more money to you if you failed a lot, because it means you've got experience.
It's also a much more realistic way to set up a business, because of every successful company, five others do fail.
Yeah, so
we've
saying
seen that time and time again.
We have a better chance of coming out with something successful because we're trying a lot of stuff.
How much impact do you think Jack Dorsey has? I mean, he shows up and everybody starts leaving, running away from Twitter.
Well, he was pushed out initially.
Mm-hmm. Invited him back.
Right. And he's busy enough running Square as well. So
which
he's
got $100 million of funding today.
Oh, talk about a bubble. Yeah. But he's a busy guy. It sounds like there was some bad blood there back in the day. I'm not really sure where everybody stands now, but it sounds like he's back in and the rest are out.
I think they probably thought, look, you know what? We want to step back and do the Obvious Corporation. Let's call on Jack. Jack has experience. Let's have him come in and mm-hmm. help out. Dick Costola will take over as CEO, and we'll be able to kind of go off and do our thing, and we can cash out a little bit, you know. And I think it's troubling for me as a Twitter user, though, because Ev and Biz both have a very clear idea of where they're going with Twitter and what they want it to be. Now, they say, Biz said in his blog today, that the folks who are running Twitter are doing such a good job, he's like, I'm in the way, right, and I need to step out of it. So maybe he's created that culture that is self-perpetuating. But I wonder what kinds of things people have been waiting for Biz to leave to be able to try.
Exactly. If you're in the way, but you've built a product that people love and use and find helpful, then once you're out of the way, how do things change?
Yeah.
You know, what's going to get pushed through that you would have never allowed? And Evan Williams, he left back in March. He actually had a blog post that said an obvious next step. Mm. Nobody really made that conclusion until now that, oh, of course, that's what he was talking about, Obvious Corporation, exactly. But he sort of said the same thing. Listen, I didn't want to be CEO anymore. There's other people who will run the business better than me. I want to work on new projects. I'm a startup guy. Twitter is a big, successful company. My work is done.
But it's odd. They haven't IPO'd, right?
No.
They haven't made money.
Well, they are making money, but not enough.
They're not profitable yet, are they?
No.
You usually wait until that stuff happens before you step away from your creation.
Well, he says he can come back. I mean, he'll be working with the company many years to come. So if his stuff fails, he can always come back and hopefully do something with it. But, I mean, do you think Biz Stone is possibly the reason why they weren't profitable at Twitter? Will they do better now?
It makes me worry that they have looked at it and go, I can't figure this out. Let's turn it over to some other people. Maybe they can figure it out. I'm going to go work on some other stuff.
Right. I mean, do we see advertisements in stream next week? All sorts of things could happen that haven't happened yet that we've been worried about. It just remains to be seen.
On to RIM, which according to Forbes and N4BB are ceasing work on a 10-inch BlackBerry Playbook. The current BlackBerry Playbook is 7 inches. They were going to come out with a larger one, similar to an iPad size. Instead, the report says they're switching to a QNX-powered smartphone, a.k.a. a superphone. With a cake. The specs that are released are single core 1.2 gigahertz processor, same as the Bold 9900. Word has it that same dual core processor that's in the Playbook is a huge battery killer, but a dual core processor might still be a possibility. 900 plus screen resolution, 4.3 inch touchscreen, and because they are switching off of the 10 inch Playbook, they're going to focus on the 7 inch LTE Playbook that looks like it might come in October.
We talked last week, Ayaz? Tom, I think you were out, where we talked about how a story about the shift. Everyone wants to go back to smartphones and making the best smartphone available, and tablets are sort of a passing fad, and it hasn't really worked out well. This could sort of back up that argument a little bit, at least that the playbook wasn't an instant success enough for them to say, now we need another size. It's like they want to go back to the drawing board and make a better model for what they already have.
Well, Rim's bread and butter was what it was, their smartphone, right? I mean, that this is the thing that made them. People love that keyboard. They wanted to use this thing for everything. But moving to a super phone and using QNX, I mean, QNX is obviously on the tablet, so they've had time for it to develop. They've done software updates on the playbook, so maybe they've learned a little bit from having it out there in the wild, getting feedback. Now they can go and actually apply to this stuff to the actual smartphones, because they need to actually have some progress, because they've just been stagnant for a really long time on these phones.
Yeah, I guess you could think of the playbook as a guinea pig for a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. What needs to work in a smaller form factor?
I mean, the fact that the playbook was 7 inches and this is a 4.3-inch touchscreen, I mean, if the resolution is high enough, you probably won't even know. The apps might not need to be rewritten for this kind of stuff.
I just still want, like, an email app for my BlackBerry playbook. Let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. If you need to start a website, or even if you know someone who's asking you about starting a website, even if you know what you're doing, whether you do or not, Squarespace is the way to go, because it's easy. It's fast. And if you do know a little bit of CSS, a little bit of HTML, you can get under the hood and tweak it just the way you want, put your personal stamp on it, but it speeds things up. You'll be online in no time. iPhone and iPad apps for updating your blog on the go, too. So it's advanced. See?
See?
You hear that?
That nice man.
He wanted you to know that.
Disembodied
nice man.
Voices even know Squarespace is awesome. Several modules allow you to import and export. They're so sure you're going to stick with them. They let you take your data with you if you want to go, which is the right thing to do. And that's why I like Squarespace. They are all about supporting the user, making things easy for you when you want to make a website. So don't have to take my word for it. Go try it out. You can sign up for a free account right now. You don't have to put in a credit card. They're not trying to trick you into some kind of billing thing that you have to cancel. So you don't have to give them anything. Try it out. You'll have a website running within seconds of signing up. And if you decide to purchase it, use the offer code TNT6 to get 30% off the first 3 months. So what you're paying for is not only the templates that allow you to make a beautiful website, but also the reliability. They've got all these servers behind it that can adapt on the fly to your traffic needs. Check them out, squarespace.com. We thank them for their support of Tech News Today. Well, here's something Rim might be interested in. HP's Leo Apotheker saying, you know, we're in talks with a lot of different folks about licensing WebOS. This is my next. Decided to reach out to John Rubenstein, the chief of WebOS, and go, did you hear what your boss said? And he said, yeah, let me clarify that a little bit. We are open to partnering with somebody if they want to make WebOS a significant investment for them. We don't want to be exclusive. If they want to have a couple Android phones, a couple Windows phones, that's fine. But if we're going to be one of five or six OSs and just be one of the mill, he says, it's hard to see. It wouldn't make any sense. They want someone to become a close partner with them. Now, Bloomberg has several sources claiming Samsung is on the list of people.
I mean, that seems like a weird
move. You associate
move
Samsung so much with Android.
And they have Windows Phone 7 devices
right
out there. And Samsung's like main point was to get as many devices out as they can. That's how they make money. So for a company like Samsung to just say, you know what, we're going to partner with HP after having success with those other phones, I don't know why they would be the rumored one. I mean, perhaps they were having talks, but there's a lot of other companies out there that could use something like this. Maybe LG, actually. I was thinking about this. HTC has a lot of success with Android and Windows Phone, but not so much with LG. They're just kind of sitting around waiting. So I'm thinking they might be the actual right partner for this.
Well, but as you were getting into the story, Tom, you said that Rim might be interested.
Well, this I
Rim
as,
and
I,
WebOS.
You hadn't thought of LG before the show. We were kicking around like who could possibly do this, because HTC has so many Android phones. Motorola has so many Android phones. Mm-hmm. Rim, if the QNX operating system didn't work for their super phone, you know, they have made moves in the past saying we are making BlackBerry Messenger as an app available mm-hmm. to other platforms. We're
yes.
making BES available to other platforms to use. Maybe they do that and say, you know what, let's bring in WebOS. That will be our Windows phone as it is to Nokia. We'd have WebOS and RIM. I think it's unlikely, but it's an intriguing thought.
But the idea is, I mean, this was from Rubenstein. He said, we don't want to be one of five or six OSs.
RIM they want to be the main OS.
But see, RIM could have the two operating systems. I mean, Palm used to...
They could still have QNX
right.
and run WebOS.
And the weird thing is, Palm kind of did this a while ago. They had Windows Mobile and they had Palm. So this would be kind of like a little...
Oh, yeah. And remember they had that other Ruby... Linux-based OS for a while as well?
Possible. I don't remember the third one, but this for RIM to kind of work with HP, that makes some sense too. So I guess we'll have to see where HP goes, but I think they definitely need some kind of partner because I don't think people will develop for WebOS unless there's a multitude of devices out there.
And I don't think HP wants to make a ton of phones. I don't think they see themselves littering the market with phones, and I don't think they can have the same success as Apple where they can have a limited number of models and grab a large market share. So I think they need a partner to help them beef up the number of WebOS phones in the marketplace. So it's the right thing for HP. I'm not convinced it's the right thing for any particular phone maker, but we'll keep an eye on that one. Apple still facing the music regarding Final Cut Pro 10. The complaints have not abated. However, Apple has put up a FAQ addressing some of the complaints. They said some features of Final Cut Pro 10 will be added with OS 10 Lion. Because software includes an all-new project architecture, though, and new and redesigned audio effects, video effects, and color grading tools, they will not be changing the fact that you cannot bring your old projects from FCP7 into Final Cut Pro 10.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest complaints.
Or you can, but it's almost like the version is different enough so that it won't look like you want it to look.
Yeah,
it
wouldn't
be
worth it.
A lot of information along the way.
Exactly.
One of the other objections is output to tape. You cannot... output to tape, and a lot of broadcast media out there uses Final Cut, but they output to tape still. Apple got a little Apple-y and said Final Cut Pro 10 is designed for modern file-based workflows.
That sounds very Apple-y.
Screw you.
Which is, hey, for many of us, that makes perfect sense because you want to go digital and you don't want to use a lot of tapes. And I guess tape storage is still a pretty good backup. But for the most part, I mean, TWiT, we're all digital, so I get that. But it is asking a lot of people to change, especially old newsrooms.
So those are the two big no's. The things they said will change, they're going to release an API in the next few weeks. So add-ons can be developed to support some of the missing features like output to OMF, AAF, EDL, other exchange formats. They say XML export, a way to export audio tracks and volume licenses, all coming soon if everyone just hangs in there.
There's a lot of coming soon in here, too. Yeah. One of the other omissions that people complain a lot about is multicam. They say that's actually going to be coming somewhere in the future, so that isn't gone entirely. It would be kind of crazy if it was.
We get OS 10 Lion at the end of July. That would be my benchmark to wait and see what comes.
It sounds like what Apple is going to do at their own pace, of course, is to add back some of the functionality that's really upsetting kind of hardcore editors that know what they're doing, but for the most part, suck it up because the design has changed.
I mean, that happened with iMovie 06 and 08. When they changed that interface completely, Apple did slowly bring back features over the course of 3 years. Now, it took a long time, but with this kind of delivery system with the Mac App Store, they can just push updates much faster. I mean, you don't have to wait for a new version of iLife with iMovie. For this case, you can just go, oh, software update. Good, I can get this feature.
In a strange Apple-y way, it's brilliant, and they've done this before with even the iPhone, is that they take away the feature or they don't give it to you ever, even though it's the most no-brainer feature. And then when they do finally give it to you 3 years later, it's something that they can really tout, being like, and now featuring
that
this thing.
That kind of mind game may work on consumers,
right?
But these are professionals.
Absolutely. Right.
And what Apple is indicating here is we don't care about professionals.
Yeah, Adobe actually put up something on their website saying, we're welcoming Final Cut Pro users, and here's some success stories of people who have moved to Premiere. And I saw that, and I was like, that seems like a good move, because the thing is, going to Final Cut Pro 10, if this is the future, I know a lot of people that don't want to live in that future. They want to go to a professional editing suite.
Yep.
Let's finish up with a roundup of hacking stories. Anonymous continued its anti-sec campaign, releasing more info about the Arizona Border Police and the Arizona DPS, including social security numbers, girlfriend pictures, all kinds of stuff they got from email. Arizona's Department of Public Safety confirms the hack of an officer's of several officers' emails accounts, including the AZ DPS spokesperson. Anonymous also launched a denial of service attack against a local tourism website in Orlando, Florida guide. And they promised to DDoS one Orlando website a day.
Have I missed why they don't like Orlando?
Orlando stops arresting Food Not Bombs for handing out food in parks without a license.
Gotcha.
Anonymous is reported to have also hacked into the Universal Music and Viacom servers. According to Wall Street Journal, the group has released a cache of files that it claims represents passwords, other user data stolen from a Universal Music affiliated site, as well as those from Viacom networks. That's the hacking news. Now, on the other side of this war, the FBI is starting to get active. Cincinnati's WKRC, not WKRP, WKRC.
Is WKRP real, though?
I think WKRP is based on WKRC.
Got it.
I'm just guessing. And the Hamilton Journal News in Ohio reported that the FBI conducted a search on Monday of a home on Jackson Road in St. Clair Township related to these kinds of hacks. Lulzsuk had previously named two people suspected of giving information on Ryan Cleary. He's the guy in the UK that got arrested, including someone with a handle M_Nerva, who was revealed as a resident of Hamilton, Ohio, which is located in St. Clair Township. So this could be related or it could be coincidence. I don't know. Gawker reports that about 11 a.m. last Thursday, 29-year-old Lorelei Bailey spoke with FBI agents for 5 hours in her home about hackers she knew. She is not a member of LulzSec, but she hangs around in chat rooms and they wanted to milk her for information. Apparently, they were very interested in anything she had to say about Kayla, who was one of the leaders of LulzSec.
She also was one of the people whose information was leaked by the rogue hacker, who was the one that LulzSec tried
to... The Jester?
The Jester. Mm-hmm. So her name was thrown out, so it's...
I think she was in charge of the botnet, actually. So, I mean, it looks like the FBI is cracking down.
I mean, I wonder if that sort of information helped the FBI at all, or if they were already trying to figure out where she lived and were doing that on their own. I don't know.
Yeah, this is just the FBI running around looking for information. They haven't arrested anybody. They haven't struck back yet, but they're trying to follow up on leads.
Squeal.
It looks like in both cases they're following up on leads given to them by hackers.
Yes.
You think this is all from that A-Team leak that they put out a couple
of
days ago?
Well, it's from the Jester and from the LulzSec Stitches for Snitches.
That's
leak.
Right.
And keep in mind, the FBI may be getting fed a lot of information by people who aren't making it public at all. I mean, they may have their own channels that are just unbeknownst to all of us and are not making
news
headlines.
Or maybe getting information from people who don't know anything at all.
That true.
Also possible.
That true. True dat.
True dat. On to the news views. Sony's playing musical chairs with its executives. Probably some kind of proprietary Sony song. Starting in September, Kaz Hirai will have the new title of Sony Computer Entertainment Chairman. He'll take over for retiring Akira Sato. Andrew House becomes the new CEO of Sony Computer Entertainment, Inc. House is currently the head of Sony's European video game unit. A Sony spokesperson says the moves have nothing to do with that huge PlayStation Network
breach. When? Why would they?
Why would anyone have any repercussions
for
messing
Sony
up that large?
Like any other year.
Exactly.
If you've taken a look at Google Plus, some of us in this room have, but we don't have any invites. I'm sorry. You may notice that it has some flashy animations, and it's actually sort of pretty for a Google product. Sorry, Google, but you're not necessarily known for your prettiness. Turns out that Andy Hertzfeld, who was part of the original Apple Macintosh dev team as a software and UI designer, is behind Google Plus's design. Google apparently just let Hertzfeld have freedom to design Plus as he saw fit. And it looks that way. It's different. It's cool.
So we got an update on the whole Facebook Siglia case. World-renowned law firm DLA Piper has withdrawn from representing Paul Siglia, the guy who claims to own half of Facebook based on dealings with a young Mark Zuckerberg. Now, why would a law firm withdraw from representation? You know, they kind of taught me this in law school a bit. There are a number of reasons, but my guess is that DLA Piper made the move because representation could lead to a breach of ethics or maybe even a violation of law, which if you want to break that down, they might not believe him at all at this point.
I see. That doesn't look good.
But that's not their official statement.
He has new representation, though. He's not giving up. Looks like it's Samsung's turn in the ongoing Apple-Samsung legal tennis match. Samsung has filed a complaint with the United States International Trade Commission. You know what you do when you go to the ITC? You ask them to ban stuff. That's exactly what Samsung did. They want to ban the import of the iPad, iPod, and iPhone. The current ones. They didn't ask for future ones this time. The ITC has up to 18 months to make a decision. Such hate. Samsung and Apple, come on. Why don't you huddle and do a little hangout and work it all out on Google Plus.
Tom. Free-to-play is all the rage these days with video games, and guess who's getting on the bandwagon? I'll give you one guess. Yes, you're right. Blizzard. Blizzard freed up a part of World of Warcraft. They're just smart. They know exactly what I'm going to say before I say it. We're like this. The game is now free to play up to level 20 with a Battle.net account. If you have previously tried the 10-day or 14-day free trials, you'll be able to go back to your character and continue for free until you reach level 20. So go forth. Game your brains out. It sounds messy, but it's fun.
It'll take you like a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, game your brains out for a week. If you're sick of your Verizon contract but don't want to leave because of that early termination fee, you might have an out right now. According to the Consumerist, you have the next 60 days to break your contract without being charged the ETF because Verizon is increasing a regulatory fee by 3 cents. The Consumerist warns that you may face resistance trying to explain you shouldn't be charged the ETF, but as long as you tell them this fee is a materially adverse charge, a change of the contract, you ought to be home free. Well, you might be home free after you talk to a supervisor, but no ETF.
I kind of think Google might have hired a 13-year-old girl to name their products. Sparks, Huddle, and now Google Labs has released Google Swiffy, which converts Flash Swift files, hence the name, to HTML5. This could be quite the handy tool for any web developer who wants to quickly make Flash content available to iOS devices. Google has a gallery of examples online, including a converted version of Pong, helping to drive that stake farther into the heart of Flash.
Okay, let's play a game. Oracle is suing Google. See, I can't even keep them straight anymore. So why would Oracle be suing Google?
Car accident?
If you guessed car accident, you would be wrong, actually. Because
I was hoping Larry Ellison and Schmidt
They're suing Google over patents. So it's just another day in the patent life. Yeah. According to Oracle, Google's Android OS is infringing on patents related to Oracle's Java programming language. Shocker. Google's asking the court for $2.6 billion in damages, but Google says Oracle's math is super wrong.
They're so bad at math.
Media Mall, makers of PlayOn are working on a new product called Play Later. Currently in private beta, Play Later would let its users record online video to watch later. So imagine you want to watch something on Hulu, but it's going to expire soon. You could use Play Later to record the video. Now, Play Later files only work in Windows Media Player and are just laden with DRM. The app costs $5 a month or $50 a year.
On to the randomizer.
Randomizer.
A new silver pen made by the awesome folks at my alma mater, University of Illinois, allows you to draw electrical circuits and interconnects on paper, wood, and other surfaces. This is a huge advance because there have been laser printer ways to do this where you could print out circuits on paper, but now you can just take out a pen and draw them, and they work. Metallic inks have been used to manufacture electronic devices for a while, but Jennifer Lewis, the Hans Thurnauer Professor of Material Science and Engineering at U of I, led the research team into the key advantage being a pen that is not so costly. You don't have to buy a whole printer and a bunch of print heads. We showed it on the video just a minute ago, but there is a reproduction of a Chinese painting that, because it is made with this pen, allows a blue LED to light up at the top of a house because all of the ink in the painting is conductive.
It's amazing. I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
If you just want to get into like things eventually, like soldering and all kinds of other fun things later on, this would be a great way to go. This is like almost like a gateway kind of drug. Play with this and it'll actually work.
Are you soldering for fun these days, Ayaz?
Sometimes, yeah? Actually.
Yeah? It is kind of fun.
Recreational soldering.
Well, you end up making something at the end of the day. But
for
yes,
the lulls.
It keeps the baby quiet.
He likes that smell.
And time for the rumor mill. Ah, we have another iPhone rumor. This one coming from who? Wall Street? Yes, well, PC Mag reports that the buzz on Wall Street, Barron's reporting that Keith Bachman of BMO Capital Markets told his clients, we believe the iPhone 5 will launch in mid-2012. Forget all those reports about the iPhone 5 coming in the fall. There's going to be no iPhone 4S either. Contradicting all the rumors that say we got an August or a September release. In a note to clients that was obtained by Business Insider, Mike Abramsky at RBC thinks Apple will reduce the price of existing iPhones to convert more users instead. He thinks Apple will make a carrier-subsidized iPhone 3GS free, sell the iPhone 4 for $99, and price the iPhone 5 at the usual entry point of $199.
Have we covered every permutation possible then? That all the rumors are out
so,
now?
So, no new iPhone.
No new iPhone.
Been covered.
Two new iPhones.
A small iPhone. We didn't cover the small iPhone yet. Some people think there'll be a cheap iPhone, a small one for developing countries.
I love the visual of a bunch of men walking by each other on Wall Street, you know, wearing hats going, psst,
no iPhone until next year, mid-2012. Pass it on.
You didn't hear it from me.
Sell, sell, sell.
Let's move on to the calendar.
Speaking of Apple and speaking of iPhones, 4 years ago today, actually 4 years ago and one day, guess what we didn't have? An iPhone. Yes,
no.
4 years old. The original iPhone came out 4 years ago today. It was summer. I remember it well.
It's been our birthday present to each other, me and Eileen, for the past 3 years.
Well, and they had to just go and screw
we
it up
get
for
each
you.
Other,
that's
huh?
predictable.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for nothing, Apple. The IE10 platform preview 2 is available for download right now. You don't have to wait till mid-2012. You don't even have to wait till September. You don't have to wait one more second. The Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 4G is up for pre-order from Verizon, finally. Some of you will be relieved to hear that. Windows Phone Mango starts rolling out to registered developers today. Mozilla has also released Thunderbird 5. They call it Thunderbird 5, but, you know, that's...
Thunderbirdo.
Yeah.
No, that's not... No. It's not even a language. I don't know what that
Ave,
is.
Thunderbirdo?
I think that might be better in Spanish. Though. Not sure. It sounded really good. Tomorrow, June 30th, the Open Knowledge Conference opens in Berlin. NASA has formally set... July 8th for the final space shuttle launch. I know a couple people who are going to be there. Will you be one of them?
Prager.
And Prager and Trey Ratcliffe actually is going as well. HTC Cha-Cha. Cha-Cha-Cha-Cha-Cha. It's not going to be called that in the U.S. No, it's going to be called the status. Because we don't like dancing or fun here.
No, we're all about status.
It's going to come to tell us in AT&T this summer. The Cha-Cha is already out in other countries. So.
Yeah. And she's legally required to do that. That's part of the name.
That's why they had to change the name.
Yeah, exactly.
It's part of my contract.
It's kind of hard to say the name in the United States.
Yeah.
On to the emails. TNT@twit.tv is the place to send us an email like Dan from Boston did. Thank you, Dan. In the chat room, you can find Dan under MonkeyDKS if you're looking for him. That's also his Twitter name. Anyway, he says, just a heads up, if you have a Google Apps account, since they can't use Google Profiles, you're not able to sign up for Google Plus Beta. When is Google going to allow their paying customers to use their applications, Latitude, Profiles, Plus, etc.? I would love to not sign into two Google accounts every time I want to use a Google product. I love Good Google, point. But sometimes they feel like they only go part way.
Yeah, that's annoying. I was actually hanging out in Google Plus quite a bit this morning, just trying to get a feel for how it all works. And somebody asked that exact question. And somebody from Google, I'm looking for the thread now, and I haven't been able to find it during the show. But somebody who works at Google said, we're working on it. So it's not as if they hadn't thought of it. It's not as if they're not planning.
That it's the truth. Well, right. And the other thing is, if you're paying for a service, do you want access to the beta, unfinished field test stuff?
That's a very good point.
I mean,
you might be interested in it, but you don't want anything that's going to be unstable for a company.
And Google Apps, they've also held back lab items, I guess, because of the same reason.
They're not done.
It's unstable, and they don't mess up your profession because of it.
I guess you should be allowed to choose that in a way that says, this isn't part of our service level agreement. Because when you're paying for stuff, you have a certain level of service that you expect. It's tricky, but they could do a thing that says, and then you'll get to try out this stuff. But remember, that don't make it part of your... mission critical items.
Google also could have just said, listen, Google Apps users, you are extremely important to us, and here's why we're not doing this right now, because we don't feel we can provide the best experience for you just yet. That would have been a pretty easy paragraph to write.
Sure.
So.
We got more email.
Yeah, Steve B. sent us our next email, said, just got this in the mail today. Looks like the associates program is being terminated now for California folks.
Waiting for this.
It's a pretty standard
Texas,
email.
North
you know,
Carolina,
hello,
New York,
for well after
Colorado,
a decade. Dallas. The Amazon associates program has worked with thousands of California residents. Unfortunately, .. You get the idea. You got the email too?
Yeah, I got the email. Previously, every time Amazon does this, the state doesn't back down and they cancel the associates program in that state, except for New York. Mm-hmm. New York is the one place where the state compromised, and New York still has an associates program in New York. I believe if there's any other state that will feel the need to do that, it might be California because of the tech community here. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Now, right now, though, the associates program is still going. It's only terminated once this law goes into effect, if it goes into effect.
And it has to be signed by Governor Jerry Brown, which may or may not happen.
September 30th is the deadline. If it's not signed by that time, then the associates program will continue as it is. But I have to say, I fear that because of the straits California is in, that they'll be tempted to go ahead and enact this because they think it's going to make them money. Amazon tries to argue that every time these bills have been put into place, they haven't ended up making the state any money.
Right. If you did get one of these emails, it's well worth your time to read through it, because Amazon clearly takes a very specific stance and lets you know how you can help and see things from their perspective. You know, it's funny. I just got an Amazon Associates email this morning, too, but I didn't make a dime. So they didn't bother getting this. They just said, yeah, you didn't make any money, so.
Stephen NC in the chat room says that the Associates program is still going in New York because Amazon is suing New York still. Is that true?
I don't.
I have to look into that. That's interesting, Stephen. If that's the case, that would mean Amazon actually doesn't want to give up all of that revenue from New York, whereas they decided to just go ahead and give it up in the Carolinas and Colorado and all those other places. I mean, they're pretty soon they're not going to have an Associates program in the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Folks, don't forget you can submit stories for us to consider for coverage at our Reddit. TechNewsToday.reddit.com is the place to do that. And then you can vote them up or down, the ones you like, the ones you don't like. Thanks to Flash Cider, thanks to eBlake2, Captain Kipper, J. Joe Hall 2000, Techie Noob, Enjoy What You Have 83, and more for their submissions and all the submissions in Reddit. We're up to 894 Tech News Today readers there. It's technewstoday.reddit.com if you want to have a voice in the stuff that we cover every day on Tech News Today. We thank everybody that participates in that. And everybody who's buying bricks. We're going to be moving in July 24th to the new studio. And you could have a brick with either your name or some kind of message or some kind of logo, perhaps, up on the wall in the Twit studio. Go to bricks.twit.tv for more of that. Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening, however you choose to consume. Even if you just kind of pour Tech News Today out on the ground and roll around in it.
For your homies.
Yeah. Sip it slowly. Shoot it.
Shoot it down with an oyster.
Yeah, it's fine.
We don't care. We're just happy you're enjoying it.
That's right.
Thanks, everybody. Twit.tv/TNT is our website. 260-TNT-SHOW is our phone number. Give us a call. And TNT Twit.tv is our email address. We'll see you tomorrow.